Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 122, and you can follow it in the new sheet if you'd like to. A song of ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
The second reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 5. For the word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, in the house of God of Jacob, that the man may teach us the ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate to many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Well, there's just 24 more days to Christmas. Are you starting to panic? Think about all that has to be done. Christmas presents to be purchased, cards to be sent, food to be brought, meals to be cooked. Over the next 3 and a bit weeks, end of year events and Christmas parties are the order of the day for many of us. But what do we really make of this time leading up to Christmas? During the 6th century, a tradition developed where the 4 weeks before Christmas was set aside as a period to prepare for the Christmas event. Called Advent, this period concentrated on the coming of Jesus. It was an opportunity to actually do two things: to look back into history, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and to look forward to the future when this Jesus would fully appear as God's new creation is realized, when Jesus Christ would return as God completes what God started when his Son walked this earth, when everything that God promised in terms of a new order of justice and peace will be fulfilled. The ancient prophet Isaiah picked up on this idea. about 800 years before the birth of Christ. For Isaiah believed in celebrating the past, but he was also committed to thinking about the future. And in today's reading, Isaiah speaks about a future with God in terms of the last days. In these last days, people from every corner of the earth will gather together in peace in the presence of God on Mount Zion. Zion refers to a point and a place in history where God's new creation of justice and peace will be fully revealed. And for the ancient Hebrew prophets, this place was to be the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah goes on, as the nations gather in these last days, God will arbitrate between them and the nations will make peace. Swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears will be forged into pruning hooks. This is a most brilliant vision, and Isaiah's words have made a real impact. Today, these words appear on a wall outside the United Nations building in New York. These words help drive those who oppose the totalitarian regime in East Germany. These words have inspired numerous international peace movements around the world, and they have constantly motivated Christian leaders over the centuries in their struggle for justice and reform. And we believe this event described by Isaiah in the second chapter of his book is now gathered up and made possible, not in a future single event taking place in Jerusalem, but in the coming of Jesus Christ. In other words, we believe that the event Isaiah refers to on Mount Zion points to a more glorious event when God acts to bring about the realization of God's new creation. This takes place initially in the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, and it reaches its full manifestation when Jesus Christ is fully revealed to us sometime in the future. Now, I guess this is pretty heady stuff, and you may wish to express a degree of caution here. For we've all been proselytised by ardent enthusiasts who proclaim the world is coming to an end and Jesus is coming back to whisk the faithful away, leaving most people to the delights of the devil. But the vision of Jesus Christ coming to us in his birth in Bethlehem, followed by his future coming to us in the culmination of time, is central to what we believe. To what we believe and who we are as Christian people. And Advent is the time when we think about this, when we reflect on these things. Advent is a serious time. It's a time when we look back to who Jesus was. It's a time when we consider the things Jesus did. And it's a time when we reflect on the promises Jesus made. But then we look forward, not with fear or reservation, but with hope and expectation, towards the future when everything Jesus was, when all that Jesus did, and when the promises Jesus made are fully realised. We look to a time when these things are made fully present to the whole creation, in what Isaiah refers to as the last days, and in what the early Christians believed as the second coming of Christ. And in concrete terms, this means we are called to bear witness to a time when children will no longer be indiscriminately slaughtered as they are being in Syria today. It means we look to a time when there will be no longer events where young children in Africa will be orphaned because their parents die from AIDS. It means we look to a time when people in our own community will no longer feel isolated, lonely, alienated or depressed. It means there will be a time when a wealthy, prosperous country like Australia will no longer fear the outside world or choose to lock up mothers and children because they arrive here without notice on rickety boats rather than on commercial flights. Friends, Advent is a time of looking back, and it's a time of looking forward. It's a time during which we, with confidence, can confirm that what God has done in Jesus Christ in the past is our blueprint for the future. So the cry of joy as Mary announces the birth of Jesus, the peace and the serenity of that wintry Bethlehem night when Jesus was born, the wonder and the faithfulness of those shepherds who gathered around the manger, the magnificence of the angels as they proclaimed God's glory, and the wisdom and the insight of those visitors from the east are all precursors to what we now embrace. They are all forerunners to what we expect and to what we live and long for, and for what we hope for. So on this first Sunday of Advent, may we be a people who embrace and who live out this truth. For this is a time to look back, and it's a time to look forward. It's a time to wonder, and it's a time to dream. As we anticipate, as we believe, and as we bear witness to the coming full realisation of God's reign of justice and peace. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, may this Advent time be a special period for you, as you look back and as you look forward, and as you prepare to receive the greatest gift of all. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.